and look at the scripture in Leviticus where it describes all of them, and you'll see it says they're feasts of the Lord. So we're going to take them up as feasts of the Lord. Seven of them, and they all prophetically mean something. They're not willy-nilly. They're not chosen out of the air. He didn't just decide here and there. They all have a very specific prophetic meaning to them. And we're going to try to get, and like I said, we're going to get through them. The first four have been completed, the last three, not yet. The first four are in the springtime. The final three are in the fall. So we'll keep that in mind as we go through them. So we haven't seen them all strung together during the year. You know, we get one here and then one here and then a bunch over. We get a whole bunch at once. But let's see what they look like all together and how they come together. So that first one is Passover. So let's go to Exodus 12:2 to read a little bit about Passover. This month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregations of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. But if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor are to take one lamb, according to the number of the people. According to each person eating, you are to make your count for the lamb. And we remember that on Passover, the lamb was sacrificed. Because that was able to bring us out of the land of Egypt, gave us freedom from a land of slavery. The lamb's blood was put on the posts and the lintel of the door, and that would let the angel of death know, you're not allowed in this place. This is a place of the people of Adonai. Saved them from death. And the fulfillment, we know, is the blood of Messiah Yeshua, our Passover lamb. He was the one whose blood was spilled so that the angel of death would look at it and know, you're not to take these. These are the ones of Adonai. You have no place. And we're going to look at 1 Peter 1:18 just to nail that down. 1 Peter 1:18 says, you know that you were redeemed from the futile way of life handed down from your ancestors, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with precious blood like that of the Lamb without defect or spot, the blood of Messiah. His perfect blood, just like the Lamb had no spot, wrinkle, defect, blemish, Messiah did not either. So he fulfilled that first Passover. He fulfilled that first feast of the Lord. Let's move on to the second one, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, normally associated very closely with Passover. Some of them think of them as one holiday, but they're really two, Passover being the first day, and then the other seven are the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to look at Exodus 12:17 to read about that one. So you are to observe the Feast of Matzah. For on the very same day have I brought your ranks out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you are to observe this day throughout your generations as an eternal ordinance. During the first month of the evening of the 14th day of the month, you are to eat matzah until the evening of the 21st. First day of the month. For 7 days, no hummus is to be found in your house. For whoever eats hummus, that soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's an outsider or one who was born in the land. Hummus, we know, is yeast, leaven, representative of sin. So what we're being told is the matzah, the bread that has no leaven in it, that's the bread we're to eat. That's the sinless bread. That's the one for the holiday. It's during that Passover celebration. We take that unleavened bread, that piece of matzah, and we break it. right? It comes in the afikoman with the three pieces. We take that middle piece out, we break it, and then we hide it away. Representative of Messiah's body, his burial. We saw his death, now we have his burial. Broken and hidden away. And we see this in the New Covenant. Okay, the next one of our springtime feasts, actually, I'm going to move on because of time, is First Fruits. And First Fruits was originally a time to celebrate the early springtime harvest. So Leviticus 23:9 says, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to B'nai Israel and tell them, when you have come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, you are to bring the omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, to the priest. He is to wave the omer before Adonai to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Shabbat, the Kohen is to wave it. On the day when you wave the omer, you are to offer a male lamb without blemish, 1 year old, as a burnt offering to Adonai. And in this feast, we look, and it's the giving of the first harvest is what it's celebrating. That's what it originally was. It was an agricultural holiday for the first harvest. But prophetically, we see the first harvest as the rising of Messiah from the grave. His fulfillment was his rising from the grave. So we see in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Messiah has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also has come through a man. Death first, as for Adam all died, so also in Messiah all would be made alive. Death first came through Adam, kicked out of the Garden of Eden, separated from God. That was the death from the first man. Just like as with the man caused death, our man, our Yeshua, caused life. It's his resurrection that guarantees that it happens. You know, think of it, think of this. Resurrection is the proof that it can happen again. We all, you know, as believers, we go, yeah, we're going to rise again with Messiah. Here's proof that it can happen. There are those who say, yeah, but you don't know if that can happen. Here's proof. He's done it already. Therefore, he can do it. He can have us do it. It's the proof. And the fourth feast of the Lord, that was a springtime feast that's been fulfilled, we're going to see, is Shavuot, which means weeks. It's also known as the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost. So let's read Leviticus 23:15. Then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from that day that you brought the omer and waved the offering, 7 complete Shabbats. Until the morrow after the 7th Shabbat, you are to count 50 days and then present a new grain offering to Adonai. You are to bring out of your houses 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephod of flour. They are to be baked with hummus as first fruits to Adonai. 50 days after first fruits is when we celebrate the latter harvest. But it's also become so much more than just the harvest festival. It was the day Torah was handed down from Mount Sinai. And later, it was the day of the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, as we see in Acts, Acts 2. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak. We see the infilling as the promised one from heaven, the one who, according to Luke, was the one to be clothed in power. He was going to clothe us in power. The Ruach HaKodesh is our counselor, our comforter, our guider, our guidance, our helper in all things. That was the fulfilling of Shavuot. So there are the first four of the Lord's feasts, the first four that have been fulfilled, all fulfilled by Adonai, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then his sending the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to be among us and within us. So when you look at these feasts, let's look at them as proof that more is going to happen. Because when you go to look to see if you can trust someone, what's the first thing you do? Have I been able to trust them before? Has he done what he said he was going to do for me before? If I ask someone, check on my house while I'm on vacation, and I know that in the past, he's checked on the house and maybe even given me a call every once in a while and said, yeah, everything's good. I was just over there. I fed your dog. I come back. My dog is fed. The house is locked. Everything looks good. I trust him. Well, I look at Scripture and he says he'll be coming back. He died for me. Well, I see his death. I see his resurrection. I see his burial. I see his resurrection. And I see the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, just like he said it was going to happen. If these four things has happened, I have confidence in the remaining three things. Amen? So, let's take a look at these remaining three things. The final of the three fall feasts happened close together, right? We've just come through this time. Man, bang, 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 one right after another. We're all exhausted, but we get to rest, and the good news is what they all mean. So the first of these final three were the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the New Year. It's the time we heard the shofar blast. So Leviticus 23:23 tells us, Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak to B'nai Israel, say, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you are to have a Shabbat rest, a memorial of blowing shofar, and a holy convocation. You are to do no regular work, and you are to present yourself an offering made by fire to Adonai. And we saw what a joyful time it was. I think we had a great time for Rosh Hashanah this year. And we heard the shofar blast, and it reminded us to look within. It reminded us to prepare for Yom Kippur. But it also pointed prophetically to that second coming of Messiah. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the blast of God's shofar. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left behind, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And we shall always be with the Lord if we're right with him. And this brings us to the next. And before I go to the next one, I just want to say one thing. Because some people say, well, it says here, then we who are alive. So the one who wrote, Paul Rav Shaul wrote this. And he says, he expected to rise. No, he wrote it for you who are still alive today. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that it failed. It means it's still a promise today. So that brings us to the next unfulfilled feast, the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur, Leviticus 23:26. We read it just a couple of days ago. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "However, the 10th day of this 7th month is Yom Kippur, a holy convocation to you. So you are to afflict yourself. You are to bring an offering made by fire to Adonai." This is one of the very few, in fact, I think it's the only one that's not tied to an agricultural date. And the rabbis say it's because after Rosh Hashanah, when he got the tablets, remember, Moses came down, broke the tablets. Well, it's these 10 days that he went back up, got the new set of tablets, and then came down. And that's why Yom Kippur is only 10 days from Rosh Hashanah. And that's why it's on the calendar where it is. Okay. So we're called to be with him, but we're going to be judged by the only one who can judge all of mankind. The only one righteous enough to judge all mankind. Romans 3:21-27 says, "But now God's righteousness apart from the Torah has been revealed, to which the Torah and the prophets bear witness, namely the righteousness of God through putting trust in Messiah Yeshua to all who keep on trusting. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua." God set forth Yeshua as an atonement through faith in his blood to show his righteousness in passing over sins already committed. Through God's forbearance, he demonstrates his righteousness at the present time, that he himself is just and also the justifier of the one who puts his trust in Yeshua. He is our justifier of our sins. We can't do it ourselves. No matter how much good works you do, that's not going to justify your sins. No matter how much you give into charity, that's not going to justify your sins. No matter how much you pray, that's not going to justify your sins. It takes blood. We read it in Leviticus 17. The blood was given for our atonement. It takes blood. Once we're saved by the blood that was paid, that pays the price of our sin, we come to tonight. We come to the seventh feast. The final feast of the Lord, the feasts of tabernacle, or the feast of booths, or Sukkot. Leviticus 23:39. "So on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you've gathered the fruit of the land, you are to keep the feast of Adonai for 7 days. The first day is to be a Shabbat rest, and the 8th day will also be a Shabbat rest. On the first day you're to take choice fruit of trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, willows from the brooks, and rejoice before Adonai your God for 7 days. You are to celebrate it as a festival to Adonai for 7 days in the year. It's a statue forever throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it in the 7th month. You are to live in Sukkot for 7 days. All the native born in Israel are to live in Sukkot, so that your generations may know that I had Bnei Israel to dwell in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am your God." Now, I know I read this earlier, but it bears reading again. Normally, I look at something and I read and I do it the second time. I go, "Oh, I made a mistake." This time, I didn't. I wanted to read this one again because it's a reminder to us what this particular holiday really is. It's a reminder not only that we came out of Egypt in booths, but it's a reminder that God was with us when we came out of Egypt in the booths. And it's a reminder of the that prophetic fulfillment is coming. Micah 44:6 says, "In that day," it is a declaration of Adonai, "I will gather her who is limping, and her who is banished will I collect, and even those whom I have afflicted. I will make her who was limping into a remnant, and her who was banished a mighty nation. Adonai will reign over them on Mount Zion from that time forever." It was on that day, it says, we will dwell forever with Messiah. He will be with us. Now we have a piece of Messiah by the Ruach HaKodesh. We have that within us. We have that among us. But now, you know, we can't look at God face to face, but we will be able to then. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation. I told you, I'm tired. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I also heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is among them, and he shall tabernacle among them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them and be their God. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Nor shall there be mourning or crying or pain any longer, for the former things have passed away.' And the one seated upon the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Then he said, 'Write, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Trustworthy and true is his words that he will tabernacle with us forever. No more death, no more crying. With us forever. It is the promise of this seventh feast that we're celebrating today. It's a joyous feast because he'll be with us forever and ever. So we see these seven feasts when they're put all together. What a glorious story they tell us. It's the proof of the plan that God had from the very beginning to bring us back into right relationship with him. All of Scripture is the telling of the plan God has to bring us back to him. Genesis, right at the beginning, bam, we broke it. The whole rest of Scripture, bam. How we're going to get it back again. All by him. All by his blood. The feasts have a purpose. The feasts have a story to tell. We need to have ears to hear and eyes to see and faith to accept. That's what it's all about. The faith to accept the system that God set up through Messiah Yeshua. There is an eternity for each and every one of us. That's the good news. For those who believe, the eternity is with him. For those who don't believe, eternity is the separation from him. It is the separation from him in a place that is called filled with weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of eternal fire and burning where the worms keeps eating our flesh. That's why we need to make the decision today. That's why we need to know him now. That's why no one should put off the decision to accept Yeshua later. Because you don't know if later is going to come. Amen? Amen. It's a joyous day today because it tells us he will be with us forever. Amen. Amen. So being a joyous day, what tradition says is we read a joyous psalm. So we're going to read Psalm 118 together.